Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
What's going on? I'm back with Replicant. They have a new album called Malignant Reality coming out September 10th on Transcending Obscurity Records. A little behind the scenes here. I recorded an awesome long form interview with these guys, and then I fucked it up. Everything was deleted. It was literally the day before I got a new computer. So I don't know what happened, but either way, they're kind enough to rejoin. We got Pete, Michael, and James from the band Replicant. How are you guys doing today?
Good, man. Great to see you again.
Good to see you too.
Been forever.
Yes, it has been. You guys are a New Jersey death metal band. How are things over in New Jersey? Are shows back yet, or is it kind of in between? What's going on over in New Jersey right now?
Well, shows are creeping back up again. There's some like little bars doing some stuff. People are doing some DIY stuff, and yeah, we've been getting some. People have been handing us up for shows, but unfortunately, some of the schedules don't coincide these days. But yeah, they're popping back up here and there.
Have you guys been? Yeah. So I saw you guys. Did I see something about you guys are going to be doing a Canadian tour?
Oh no, I just posted that because it was like 3 years ago when we did
our
so I was just having some memory, you know, just some fun
nostalgia.
Yes. Yeah, perfect. We are playing
that was a great tour
in August.
Oh nice. Where are you playing at? New Jersey?
In Pennsylvania.
Killer.
Douglasville, Pennsylvania, I believe, with Outer Heaven.
Oh nice. That'll be a great show.
With the boys, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a really good first show back.
Hell yeah.
Are you guys going to be able to have, I mean, I know that there's like a crazy, like, amount of like vinyl, weight on that due to like, Record Store Day is making there be almost a year long wait for vinyl and stuff. When you guys play, because of the weights on the vinyl, is there, any chance you guys are going to even have records before you got, once you guys drop it at your shows?
That's a great question. The answer is probably no, because September 10th is the release date. I don't think we're going to have the actual vinyl in our hands on the 10th of September. So yeah, probably not, but fingers crossed.
Well, you can pre-order it now, the Replicant Band. bandcamp.com and it links to Malignant Reality from the Transcending Obscurity, which is a label from Europe. And I want to get into how you guys signed with them and all that kind of good stuff. But before we jump a lot into Replicant stuff, I did see the today. So today we're talking on the 27th of July. Today was unfortunate passing of the ex-Slipknot drummer Joey Jordison. Now, James, being a drummer and I'm friends with you on Facebook, you posted something about Joey's, you know, kind of influence on you. Would you care to share some of your thoughts on this?
Sure. I think to say he's the most influential extreme metal drummer of the last 25 years isn't an understatement. I think that his contributions, both as a drummer and a songwriter, they can't be overstated. You know, it's like he was a really solid drummer. He knew how to write. He knew what people would respond to, and nobody was playing like him in the mainstream realm. You know, like anything that's come since then is following in the path that was cleared by Joey and Slipknot. But he was one of the principal songwriters of that group, he and Paul. And, you know, for me, it was just kind of, it knocked me on my ass, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, when I was a kid, I remember being in high school and my buddy Brian would let me borrow a Disaster piece. And I would just borrow it like every couple of weeks and watch the whole thing. You know, I went through that phase where it was just like the hardest song in the world is going to be the Heretic Anthem, you know, and like so many parts of my like development as a player were based on using Slipknot and Joey specifically as like a metric.
Yeah.
You know, even like the Roadrunner United stuff, I would watch that DVD obsessively, like daily for.
That was a cool ass DVD, man. Yeah.
Oh, the DVD, it was phenomenal. And that DVD also, you know, showed me a whole bunch of different bands that I had never heard of because of all the collaborations and stuff. But like the tune that he put out on there, Annihilation by the Hands of God, I always have a lot of like really strong nostalgia for, because I remember that was a song that scared off a guy I was trying to get to teach me drums. And because I remember it really vividly, because he came in and he thought it was just going to be like an easy, oh yeah, you want to play this tune? He listened to the
riff. Your dog started barking at the right exact moment right there. That was amazing. Yeah.
So there's like, you know, all is good. But, you know, there's this really aggressive riff and like a really aggressive blast beat. And I remember vividly, you know, he wrote it out for me, which didn't matter because I couldn't read music at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, the way that he was talking to me with my experience now, I know he was just like, oh, cool, we'll spend like a month or six working on this tune. It's easy. And then the next week I could play it because I was just that obsessed with Joey's playing that I was like, oh, yeah, well, I know like how he likes to write his parts. He likes to do like burst double bass patterns here. And then if he's doing blast beats, these are the fills he's going to play. And it scared him off.
And he's like, and, okay, you're more advanced than I am.
he was just like, no, this Joey, he's just like, you get Joey's style, you know. Then to me, that was like always a moment I was really proud of that I was able to just get it. And you know, I still have the Joey Jordison snare. I've been using that a lot recently at home, and it's just been a lot. So yeah. I'm grateful for all of his contributions that he's made, and you know, we all owe a lot to him, I think.
Absolutely, man, and I was kind of floored by that. And one thing that my friend Ryan, he plays in a band called Pound. They're a two piece kind of instrumental, weird, instrumental in, kind of avant-garde, genty doom. I don't know. Anyways, crazy band. He was saying that, you know, love them or hate them, Joey Jordison and Slipknot really brought blast beats to daytime rock radio. Like, you hadn't heard blast beats on the radio until before then.
Dude, I remember being like 13 years old, listening to K-Rock and just hearing Wait and Bleed and being like, yo, people playing drums like this on the radio. It's like, yeah, nobody was doing that.
Exactly. Well, I did want to mention it. I didn't want to pretend like that wasn't happening today. You know, we'll date the interview, but of course, we just had to pay our respects to Joey Jordison, kind of a legend in the underground and extreme metal scene. So, again, I'm talking with Replicant, and things are starting to open up a little bit, and we'll see where things go with the Delta and whatnot. But hopefully, you know, fingers crossed that shows continue to stay open, whether or not people are wearing masks. Maybe we'll have to wear masks. Maybe we'll be Slipknot ourselves. Hey, bring your Slipknot mask. There you go.
There you go.
Exactly. Bring BYOM, bring your own mask. So I was listening to some songs from the record that are available now on your Bandcamp. This is friggin' awesome. There was a guy who I can't say it better than this guy. He says, his name is, shout out to Stephen Andrew Mazzone. He says, Replicant shine bright on the three tracks currently available for this upcoming release. There's groove, there's dissonance, there's catchy riffs, and nigh incomprehensible vocals delivered with impactful emotions on top of the soundscape painted masterfully underneath. That love guy.
What a poet.
Yeah. So straight up, it's a beast. It's a beast of a record. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's so sick that people are like digging it. So that's freaking flattering and really nice to hear. Yeah.
Was this an effort during the pandemic? Was this something that was recorded during the pandemic? Was it recorded beforehand? Give me a little info on the behind the scenes of the making of the album.
Michael?
Well, yeah, it was written, it was recorded during the pandemic. We're bouncing songs off each other. We're just like, there's no shows happening, so let's stay productive. And we had this record contract with Kunal from Transcending Obscurity, and we said, yo, let's get him this album ASAP. Like, we could do this mad fast now, since we got no reason to hold us back right now other than the pandemic. But you know, we're all taking care of each other, and we all had computers, we all had internet. Mm-hmm. And we're just like, yo, let's bounce these ideas off each other. And to the point, we got a bunch of songs that we were happy with, and we scheduled some time to go track at James's house with our buddy Ben as the engineer. And We did it all in different places throughout the state, just doing it at each other's houses and our studio throughout all of central to northern New Jersey and out west too. So it's a very New Jersey endeavor.
Yeah.
It sounds huge. I got to say, it sounds huge. Is Ben someone who does this professionally?
Well, Ben plays with me and James and our other band called Windfarer. He's an electric violinist, and he's just started getting into engineering and mixing. Mm-hmm. And stuff. So he's there under the wing of Bobby Torres at Frightbox, and he started engineering a bunch of metal projects for him, doing a lot of the miking, a lot of the tracking drums and, you know, guitars and all that stuff. So he's a really good, you know, close comrade of ours. So he was really happy to be a part of this and help us out.
That's awesome. And you get anything you guys want to join and mention about it, or anything that stood out about this, the recording of this album, as opposed to the past albums? And I mean, obviously during a pandemic, it's got to be kind of strange.
Yeah. So we only had two songs written before when we kind of went into the songwriting mode, like Mike was saying. So, you know, like, yeah, like 80% of the album was written, you know, remotely. So that was like definitely a first. You know, we didn't really get to, we started practicing like a few weeks ago, and that was like the first time we'd ever actually played some of these songs together. So okay. That's like super weird, you know, like, you know, definitely weird, but it was pretty cool, you know. Yeah, I mean, just to echo what Mike was saying, it's like, you know, we just like hunkered down, wrote a lot of the songs, sent it around the tracks, just like collaborated virtually. You know, when like things were like, you know, not so scary last summer, but that's when we were like, okay, let's like, you know, like track this bad boy. We met up, we did it. Yeah, very different than all the other recording. So I recorded the first album mm-hmm. and pretty much everything since besides the last EP. And I just kind of wanted to focus on just like being the musician.
Yeah.
So like our buddy Bobby and Ben, like who also worked on the last EP with us, they like did a fucking awesome job. And then we got Colin from Gorguts and Dysrhythmia and, you know, every band in Brooklyn to master it. And he did an amazing job. He was so awesome to work with. We've been wanting to work with him forever. So yeah, it all came together and we're like super stoked on the final product.
Did you have to try to not fanboy out when you were talking with Colin?
Oh, totally.
I know
yeah.
you're a Gorguts fanboy. So
oh, yeah. We played a show in Brooklyn maybe like 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and he was there to catch one of his friend's other bands. I remember he walked in like during our set, and I looked up and I was like holy shit balls. So
don't fuck up.
Yeah, pretty much. I was like, oh, so then like I drank a few beers and I like punished him outside the venue afterwards, and I like talked his ear off and I was like, dude, we should totally work together. Like,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, man, that'd be sick. So yeah, when I hit him up, I just like emailed him and he was like super into it. He was like, yeah, like definitely, you know, I gave him plenty of like heads up. And he was like, yeah, like, you know, let's like, you know, try to do something again in the future. And I was like, yes, like hell yeah. So yeah, very, very, very nice guy, super professional, super down to earth, just like super talented musician. So he's very, very easy to work with.
Well, Mike and James, so Pete, we just heard, you know, his interaction with what it was like being on stage and having Colin, you know, come in and him kind of be like, oh my God, kind of awestruck. What's one musician who you would have that reaction to if you were playing live and you saw walk in and start watching you and you would feel like you really had to hold it together and not nerd out?
For me, it would be like a toss up between three guys.
Okay.
Which would be Eric Rutan.
Yes.
Derek Roddy and Mike Portnoy.
Okay.
Because all my other, like, you know, favorite musicians, I'd be able to like hold my cool, you know. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if they walked in, I'd be like, holy shit, you're Derek Roddy. Oh my God, you're playing on IMAR. Oh my God. And I would lose my mind. But I would be like, I'd freak out. There's no recovering. Same with Eric Rutan and Mike Portnoy.
And Mike, what about you, man?
I don't know. That's kind of hard. Man, probably Max Cavalera. I mean,
yeah,
he's such a fucking cool dude. And probably like Dino from Fear Factory.
Yeah.
Be cool to like pick those guys' brains.
You know what's cool about Max is I've talked with him a couple times, interviewed him, and he's probably heard you guys. That guy is so plugged into underground music. Like, he was just telling me about, he was like, oh man, I listened to Zabulba and Full of Hell and all these different bands. And, you know, he was he's always repping yeah. underground and like constantly always, you know, checking out new music, which is really cool. Cause, you know, I mean, you know, he's a forefather in this and he doesn't have to, you know, it's cool that he continues to do that. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Sick, because yeah, so many dudes at this point are just kind of like over it, or like mm-hmm. they just like don't, you know, for whatever reason, they're just like, it's not like their like thing, or they're not like, you know, still like as hungry maybe as to like find new bands and listen to music. But it is super cool that Max is like so, like you said, like plugged in, and he's just like, you know, he just wants to keep like hearing what's like going on and like what's
yeah.
who's pushing the boundary and who's doing like cool shit. So
yeah, he's a real dude.
Yeah.
All right, James, I think we were mentioning this before you jumped into the chat, but do you agree that Mike looks like Rob Flynn from Machine Head?
Man, Rob Flynn is trying to look like Mike, bro.
There we go.
Oh, he can come find me.
Wow, oh, this man. This is like WWE shit right here.
Let freedom ring. He's with gonna... a shotgun blast. James is saying it, dude.
All right.
Let's start some beef so we could amplify Replicant's name a little bit.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I see it on like Metal Sucks.
That's the right game.
New Jersey underground, New Jersey death metal band Replicant calls out Machine Head. Ah, oh, man. I got the clickbait name for the YouTube video.
Perfect.
Yes.
We'll write that shit up right after this.
You know what, brother?
Yeah.
I'll see you in the pit.
You'd be a pretty good tag team, dude. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So the album is, again, it's coming out on September 10th on Transcending Obscurity. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this Transcending Obscurity. It's a label based in Europe. How'd you guys get on the label, and how'd you guys kind of get on their, on their radar?
Yeah. So they're actually based out of India.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, a few years ago we were just doing our thing and Kunal hit us up, just like randomly on Facebook, and was like, "Hey, like, I really love your album. If you guys ever want to work together, you know, like, definitely keep me posted." And, at the time we were on a label called PRC Music, based out of Quebec, and, Remy Cote, the owner of the label, super awesome dude, was kind of like deciding that he wanted to kind of call it quits. Because he's a little older, just kind of like, you know, wanted to kind of retire essentially and kind of stop the label. So it ended up working out perfectly timing wise because, then we just hit up Kunal and we're like, "Hey man, actually, you know, we need a label, and, you know, we're starting to work on the next album." And he was really in, you know, like I said, he really, liked what we had done before. He had reached out to us. So yeah. So then, we signed a 2-album deal with him, and, number one's coming up soon.
Nice, dude. That's awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, the label is really cool. Like, just I haven't purchased anything from Transcending Obscurity, but I'm gonna have to change that.
There's a lot of cool bands. A lot of cool
album coming out September 10th.
Yeah, absolutely. But they got all kinds of stuff. They got merch bundles. You guys got sweatpants, you got basketball shorts.
Dude, the merch is like Spaceballs, like next, like it's like merchandise. Yes.
Anything that you can put Replicant on, you can get it on.
We're like Kiss of death metal right now.
I want to get like a plush bear with the Replicant on it, and then like one of those oversized Big Gulp cups with Replicant in bright green.
Oh my god, dude!
It's like essential straw merchandise.
Like the hands. Yeah, like the Hulk Hogan hair, like the Hulk hands.
Yes, absolutely. A wrestling buddy that's like looks like each member of you guys.
The Stretch Armstrongs.
Yes.
Love it. Yeah, that guy Kunal is just killing it on the merch game for sure.
Absolutely.
Like there's like some like there's like coasters, it's fridge magnets, there's a coffin case. It's like, yeah, it's like everything you could think of and more.
So I'm gonna have to, you know, figure out, you know, how much of my paycheck I'm willing to throw down on Replicant merch, and then you guys will get a good PayPal purchase from over here in Seattle. So,
well, you're too kind.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes, absolutely. So, James, I wanted to ask you, you're the newest member of Replicant. How did you hook up with these guys? Were you playing in bands with them before? Or actually, sorry, you said that you also play in a band with Mike on the that was probably before your time with Replicant. Is that right?
Yeah, and we're still in Windfarer as well.
Awesome.
So me and Mike, we linked up by chance at like a show, and we were talking on Facebook because we were both like, "Hey, I like heavy music. Hey, I like heavy music too. Yep. Hey, have you heard of this band?" Now I'm, you know, talking like that, which was fun. And then, that's how I got into Windfarer. And then when things were changing in the Replicant world, that Mike reached out and was like, "Hey, would you be interested in possibly, you know, giving this a shot?" And I immediately was like super stoked because I loved Negative Life. Like I would listen to it pretty consistently as like a fan, which was cool because, like, you know, I'm friends with these guys.
Yeah.
And me and Pete actually worked on Windfarer Split, I think, a couple of years ago too. So I knew Pete. And I knew Pete from other things in the scene as well. So I was like, I think this could be cool. Yeah. And then the very, very first like audition / practice or whatever, we worked on the tune called Hymns of Distress, which was we released as a part of a split.
Yeah.
And the chemistry was just like right there. I feel like we'd be more or less like finished writing it like together that night. I was like, "Oh yeah, this is sick." And like, one part where I looked over at Pete and I changed the groove just a little bit. And I saw the smile pop up on his face, like, yes. And I was like, "All right, cool, I'm home. This is going to be great. This is going to be so much fun."
Is it fun to kind of like play off of each other like that a little bit? Maybe like push each other into like, you know, just kind of switch it up a little bit. I know you guys are fans of jazz music, so that's what a lot of jazz musicians will do, is kind of improvisation a little bit. Is that fun to do?
Oh yeah, it's so fun. It's like, you know, when like one of us is like doing something like sick, it's like we all look over and we're just like, yeah, it's like that's like keep that going, you know.
Yeah.
And it could be anything from like a weird little improv thing to like some like you know, like a wacky new metal riff, like out of sudden, like all of a sudden it's just like, yeah, like fucking bring that bounce back, you know. It's like it's a really it's a nice feeling. Yeah. It's a good feeling when like we're all clicking, you know, and we're all like on the same page and we're all bringing in like fun ideas. Cause that's like the cool thing about the three of us is that we all have so many influences and we all are pretty open-minded. So it's like anything could be part of a Replicant song, you know. It doesn't have to follow. It's not like, you know, for instance, like a Slayer song where it has to have like that Slayer, it has to be fast and Slayer, you know. It's like anything can kind of goes. So it's nice that we can kind of incorporate a lot of these fun ideas into a song and just kind of see what happens.
Well, you guys certainly have a very like kind of mind and genre bending kind of like odd kind of I would say Gore Guts influence kind of thing. You said Skronk in the past in the interview, but also you guys have a lot of groove, and that's something that's cool. Is always like there's always a nice groove there. It's almost like a Gore Guts meets Pantera or some shit at times. It's like really dope. So aside from those things, what are non-metal influences you guys have musically?
Well, I love like that band, like the Cocteau Twins.
Yeah, what are they saying?
Yeah, really great. Super weird, love them. Like real like spacey, kind of like early Pink Floyd. You know, just like real trippy. I also like a lot of what's it called, like classic rock stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's anything that's like rocking, you know. So you got to get like your head banging, otherwise it's like, I don't know. To me, it's like not as fun.
Gotta get your head banging, Mike. What about you, man? What are some non-metal influences for you, man, as a musician?
Well, I'm gonna echo what Pete said. I love the Cocteau Twins. Mm-hmm. I love. Been listening to a lot to the Sundays as of late.
Oh, okay.
Some like dream pop, some stuff like that. Dude, I love Latin music, mm-hmm. Folk music in general, from wherever. World music and just anything really. Been listening to a lot of goth music as well. Like recently I've gotten really into this artist Drab Majesty.
Yeah, love Drab Majesty.
Oh my god. Yeah. Like I heard
you start
a song
dressing like that?
You know what? I considered it, but I won't be as good as this guy from Drab Majesty, man. Just kills it. Just really does the persona and everything really awesomely.
Absolutely.
And the whole package is great. It's like, yeah, just like anything like with a lot of emotion, like I especially like that goth stuff. Cause like, it's like dark. It's like, has that vibe. Like morose vibe.
Absolutely. James, what about you, man? What are some non-metal influences, or are you just straight metal, nothing else?
No, I listen to way too much music. I love it. Recently, the things I've been listening to the most would be either Tigran Hamasyan, who's this phenomenal like Turkish jazz pianist.
Okay.
A lot of Square Pusher recently because the record Feed Me Weird Things just is now finally streaming everywhere. And so before you need like the CD.
Yeah.
So now I've been listening to that a lot recently. And honestly, I love jazz. I love fusion music. I love Latin stuff. There's this cool group called The World is a Beautiful Place. And I confused them with An Autumn for Crippled Children. My mistake. Which is another cool band in like a kind of similar vein, sort of like post rocky and stuff, but a little more atmospheric. I like that. I love it.
Nice. Right on, man. Well, so you guys obviously, yeah, have influences from all over the world. So that's cool, man. And some get some world music thrown in there, some fusion, some goth, some Cocteau Twins, and then throw in some Nevermore. And there you go.
I wish. the Nevermore always comes back to it.
Do you ever get to see them?
I saw them a bunch of times. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. One of the very first shows I saw once I started going to metal shows was Nevermore and Opeth.
Oh, cool.
In like 2004, maybe?
Yeah.
It was like Opeth's first show, like US tour, I think. And it was at Webster Hall in New York City. And it, that band Into Eternity. I don't know if you remember them.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I remember Into Eternity. They're great.
Yeah, dude. I saw Nevermore a bunch of times. And RIP.
Yeah. Speaking of other sick bands that don't have death metal in their sound, Blind Guardian is a big one for us.
There you go. Nice. Yeah, we do all love Blind Guardian. Yeah.
We love Blind Guardian.
How about that new Halloween?
I
haven't heard it.
I love Keeper of the Seven Keys, but other than that, I don't know a lot of Halloween, to be honest.
Okay.
Part one and two.
Check it out.
Part one and two. Yeah.
Crucial.
Yeah.
So you guys are a New Jersey band. I was kind of raised in New Jersey before I moved over here in Sandy really? Hook. In Sandy Hook, part of Fort. What's the school I went to was Navesink Elementary.
Navesink, yeah, totally. Yeah,
Navesink Elementary. I went there over, and my parents were in the Coast Guard, so I lived over there on the base, and then I moved over here in the middle of kindergarten. So I was my earliest memories are of New Jersey. What are your guys's big four of New Jersey music? It could be anything from, you know. Misfits, My Chemical Romance to Fury of Five. I don't care. Let's go through here. James, let's start with you. Big four of New Jersey music.
All right, and this is just my
just you
here.
Just you.
All right. This is just for me. It's not like super poppy stuff. So Bon Jovi, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So for me, this group called No Hollywood Ending, who I was a huge fan of when I was in high school.
Okay.
And they have like a really, really cool dramatic story too, because they were like, they were blowing up the New Jersey music scene, and they were doing like legit shows where people would come out and they'd have like 200 people there to see them.
Was it like metalcore?
Yeah, like sort of like metalcore, like, but a little more emo-y. So it had like that crossover appeal.
Sure.
But then something happened with the singer's mom and the band stopped like while they were on tour, and that like they could have been My Chemical Romance.
Yeah.
Like they were great. Divinity Destroyed, another phenomenal New Jersey. Yeah, oh yeah, another phenomenal New Jersey band. Yeah, dude, me and
Unsung
me and
Heroes.
Pete, yeah, oh, me and Pete will randomly just sing Divinity lyrics at each other, just like walking through the hallways, because, you know, they're phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, Symphony X, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, like they phenomenal
I call them
musicians.
Symphony Sex. That's my name for him.
That's probably the right way to pronounce it now that I'm saying it out loud, you know.
Symphony Sex, dude.
Maybe lose my train of thought. God.
Fun fact, I worked with Mike Pinella, the keyboardist from Symphony X at Guitar Center.
Nice.
Music, yeah.
And I worked with the bass player, Mike LaPond, a good old School of Rock.
Bam.
Oh, yeah. It all comes together.
All right. That's three, dude.
Damn it.
Just say Bon Jovi, James.
Yeah, I already threw him under the bus, man. I can't. It's too...
Bon Jovi.
He lives in two realms. You know, you love him and hate him. It's just, that's what it is.
Bouncing Souls. What do we got here? Who's number four?
Oh, no, not Bouncing Souls for me. No, maybe someone else. But E-Town Concrete.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, man. Mandibles.
Thank you. Cool.
Damn.
Would you be comfortable singing the lyrics to... entire E-Town set?
Nope. Like, no, sir. No, sir. Nope.
There's certain words that I don't think I could get away with.
Yeah.
Nope. Listen, things are going really good in my life right now. The last thing I need is just an out of context little. Here's. Nope.
Yeah, no. We don't want to cancel Replicant before the album comes out. All right, Pete. What about you, man? Big four of New Jersey music.
Okay. Well, first off, I want to say I didn't even know you were from New Jersey.
Yeah, well,
I wonder why we're such kindred spirits.
Let me see. I don't know if I can even show it. Can you see back here?
Oh, look at that, too. Oh my God! Look
you're
at this
fit
guy.
In just fine. Okay.
Oh my God! Look at this guy. So I'm from Mattawan, which is very close to Sandy Hook. I grew up going to Sandy Hook all the time, and we even had a boat in a marina in the Navesink. So
okay.
So yeah, it all makes sense now. This is why we're friends. This is
exactly. Good vibe.
So I'm gonna take the metal guy road and just name a bunch of New Jersey metal bands, which I think are sick. Because I'm not really so into Bon Jovi, and I don't really care for Bruce Springsteen, and I think it's a contrarian in me. I'm just like,
not a folly guy.
Yeah. No, no. But so number one would be Dim Mak. Classic New Jersey death metal from the 90s.
I've heard of them. I've never heard them. I can't be a poser and say I like them. I respect that.
You would definitely love it. If you love like NJ Bloodline, you know, Fury 5, it's like kind of got like this like kind of like stuff. Hardcore kind of hip hop like style with like these like crazy death metal riffs.
Cool.
And it's like half the dudes for like a lot of the band, the Ripping Corpse.
Oh, band. Nice.
It's pretty much, it's the band that they did after Ripping Corpse minus Rutan and like plus one or two other people. So Dim Mak, definitely up there for me. What's it called? Demodicy.
Which is
another sick New Jersey death metal band from the 90s that not a lot of people know about. They were called Demonic Slam. So it's the first time I would ever seen the word slam used to describe a band.
Yeah.
And this is again like 92, 93-ish. So definitely up there on slams. Who else? Well, Divinity Destroyed, like James was saying, was a band that I saw a lot in high school. There was Divinity Destroyed and this other band called Beyond the Flesh.
Hell yeah.
Which were like a sick, like kind of Swedish, kind of like melodic death metal band in like the early 2000s, kind of late 90s.
They had a lot of Carcass influence.
They did. A lot of Carcass, a lot of kind of early In Flames, a lot of early Dark Tranquility.
Mm-hmm.
Divinity Destroyed and Beyond the Flesh, early New Jersey metal bands that I really got into. And then the last one would probably be Human Remains. Human Remains, Dave Woody, and the guys from Burned by the Sun. Oh, Burned by the Sun too. We'll say Burned by the Sun, Human Remains, because those are obviously a big influence on Replicant. The Human Remains and the Burned by the Sun, both equally, big time influences for us. And also, they also are from Red Bank, which is kind of the same area. So okay. I kind of, the hometown guys.
Nice. Okay, there you go, Mike. Yeah. What about you, man?
Yeah, man. I think a lot of the sick bands were stated, already. I was going to say, I want to throw in a really sick band that are kind of obscure. They're not active anymore. They're a part of the slam scene, Digested Flesh.
Okay.
Yeah, they have this sick album. They have this sick song called Bucket of Afterbirth. Is very sick. Awesome band. Disgusting drumming and just the gurgly vocals. And they just, that, I forget the name of the album. I don't know. It escapes me right now. But they released like this one full length. And I thought it was just like, after Devourment perfected it, they kind of just like put out this slam album that every song is like just great, disgusting, gross, underproduced slam the way it should be.
I like the way that you when you go into slam mode, you have to say the F word a lot, and you also say like things like disgusting, heinous, gurgly. Like, it's like perfect, dude. You have the perfect representation of what I can imagine that music is. Like,
I just want to give them a shout out. Bravo. I just want to give them a shout out just because, like, starting out, just like knowing that band's from New Jersey was just a sick thing. And
Digested Flesh. All right.
Pete already said Demodicy, so I got to say another band. I'm going to say, I don't know if Pete said, he already said it, but I'm going to just officially put him in there, Ripping Corpse.
Yeah.
On the list. Not to be redundant either, there's E-Town Concrete. They're from my hometown. I'm from Elizabeth.
Okay.
Born and raised. And E-Town was like the band that everybody knew growing up. Whether you were into punk, hardcore, metal, whatever, you already knew there's a band called E-Town Concrete, and they already did it. They claimed Elizabeth, New Jersey, and they brought the name Elizabeth, New Jersey, this small city in the United States, to Japan, to wherever they went and toured, and they did a lot of, awesome stuff coming from where we come from.
And, I got a question, not to butt in here with you too much here. So keep your thought, but Is everyone else here on the same page that when you know you're a kid, you could be the nerdiest skinny kid, but when you put E-Town on in the car, you feel really hard. You're just like, yeah, man, listen to E-Town. Just giving everyone like mean mugs, like yeah.
Just like pull up the stop sign, be like, y'all, and I can beat everybody up around here. Yeah, exactly.
And then you roll the windows up like Office Space.
And then you're just like, yeah, you like hit the lock like real slick.
Yeah, I still like take opportunity to like roll down the window and blast Time to Shine, you know, down the street.
Yeah.
You know, just rolling up at red lights. Definitely those like heavy ass breakdowns.
But then you make sure not to say certain words, right?
No, I won't say that. I don't remember a lot of lyrics anyway, so it's cool. And another sick band that never got a lot of credit that I'm going to have to mention from New Jersey was 40 Below Summer.
Okay, I remember seeing their CD. Were they a new metal band?
They were a new metal band, mm-hmm. but they had that authentic sound of like a real band. They weren't like this scene trend thing. They were they're kind of like, they're just groovy, sick drumming, like cool songwriting. And that's one of the first bands I heard from New Jersey too. I heard them on the local college station when my mom was giving me rides to school and stuff.
Right all the time.
So yeah. And I also love Symphony X and
Symphony Sex. You know.
Yeah.
Awesome. Again, I'm talking with Replicant. Their new album's coming out soon, but you mentioned 40 Below Summer, and I've been listening to a podcast that's like a comprehensive nu metal review podcast. So I've been really going down this lane of nu metal stuff. So I have to ask, if you guys were to cover one nu metal hit from that era, what would it be, guys? And you have to come to a consensus right here, right now.
Ooh, it'd definitely be a Korn song.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd say definitely Korn. That song that we were talking about yesterday, Good God on Life is Peachy.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Probably that one.
That's it. Winner.
James, can you bleach your hair like David?
I can do whatever I want. This mane, luscious hair, I can do anything.
There you go.
A little bit of hair wax, a little bit of hair wax.
Get some Adidas. Yeah. Yeah,
Mike can do the fieldy, like the pigtails, you know.
Play the bass, like, yeah, dude.
I'll do it.
Boom, boom. Yeah, dude.
You don't have a scat master though.
The strings will basically be falling off the bass, like it's very strange. But yeah, good times, man. I would like to hear what Replicant can add to that. Maybe on your next album or something.
We should do a Korn cover. That would be pretty appropriate.
I would not be opposed to that.
Yeah.
And that first Korn album has a lot of sick and riffs too. So like, yeah, you could do like something like Clown or something maybe.
Yeah. Clown's a good one. Yeah.
It was before my time, but I remember some friends telling me that they saw a show in like 95. It was Orange 9mm, Sick of It All, Trial, and Korn opened.
Amazing. Whoa.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
Exactly. I guess Orange 9mm brought them on tour, and because they were like the new like band on the label, and they were like, I don't know what these guys are like, but okay. And then like 6 months later, they're like the biggest band. So
right. Yeah. Crazy. So weird. Wild times.
Exactly. So again, the album is coming out here September 10th. It's called Malignant Reality. The band is Replicant. You can order it from replicantband.bandcamp.com. Oh, sorry. I'll do that again. Replicantband.bandcamp.com. You can also buy all of your merch needs, everything with a logo on it, with a Replicant, whether it be shorts, pants, sweatpants, CDs, anything you need, Replicant. Before we get going, anything you want to say to Seattle and the metal scene that's watching this interview right now?
Just thanks for all the support. Like, you know, stoked to be able to talk again. We really hope to be able to actually come out and hang out in Seattle, play some shows, chill, drink some coffee, have a nice time. So yeah, just thanks again. I hope everyone digs it.
And we will.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.